Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This can be found on page 911 on the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to hear your word, as we come to hear you speak to us, may your Spirit speak to our hearts, so we don't just hear the voice of men, but we hear your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's the first Sunday in a new year. It surprised me that it's almost a week of the new year gone. My resolutions haven't started yet. They're going to start tomorrow. But I said that last Sunday. But perhaps many of us have made promises. We've made resolutions. And things that we're going to do, attitudes that we're going to adopt, healthier way of living, looking after our bodies perhaps a bit better. And after the past few weeks of perhaps more chocolate in the house and certainly more crisps, that's one of mine. But that's going to start tomorrow. And as we know, tomorrow never comes. But we make promises, don't we? We make promises. And we say, we're going to do this. We're going to live in this certain way. And the church does that too. The church does that too. What are we going to do? How are we going to be the church in this area, in this community? What are our priorities? What are we going to do? In our reading earlier, we had a summary of characteristics of that early church. And while it doesn't map directly over to the 21st century here in Edinburgh, it gives us some principles to set our course by. There's these new Christians, this new church, came together sharing a life in common. Teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. And they were a continuing community. It wasn't just this momentary enthusiasm. That was okay for last year, but it was continuing. They came together, a common purpose within that fellowship. And yes, there was that wonderful story. And if you go back into the verses before our reading, you hear about all these people who came to faith and came to join the church. And that conversion was a once and for all experience, that turning, that changing of direction. But then once the direction has changed, the gears have got to be engaged, don't they? And you move forward, continuing forward momentum. The verse before our reading started in verse 41 said that believers were brought into a common fellowship through repentance, conversion, and baptism. And so they've changed. They've changed direction. And so how are they going to engage the gears moving forward? I'm not sure that that's how they would have put it in the first century, of engaging gears. But really, that's what we're talking about. We're moving forward. The church can do lots of things, can't we? And we do lots of things, both here and in my own congregation, in the church in Edinburgh and the church around the world. We do lots of things in our worship and our witness, in our outreach, in our social times together. Perhaps we think there's more that the church should be doing, can be doing, and possibly we would love them to do. But what this passage does tell us about the church is it tells us of things that we need to be doing as a church. What a healthy church is to look like, as it is found in St. John's Collington Means or Craig Lockhart or any of the other churches in Edinburgh or around the world. They are vital signs of a healthy church. A friend of mine was telling me about, he was out and he was on the bus and he just got off the bus and somebody up ahead had collapsed. And so he naturally went over to see if he could help. Probably thinking along the way, I'm not actually sure what I can do. I'm not a nurse. I'm not medically trained. I have no first aid training. I really don't know what I... But he went. And he says that he was so relieved that fortunately for the woman who ended up being okay, but fortunately for the woman, there was a nurse who came first. And the nurse was there. The woman was on the ground and the nurse was checking for her vital signs. Don't know what had happened, but she was unconscious, and the nurse was checking for her vital signs: pulse rate, temperature, respiration rate, blood pressure. She was checking the vital signs. In the church, we check for vital signs too. And Luke, the doctor who wrote Acts, records in our passage this morning the vital signs for the church. And so as we look forward in the new year, what are the vital signs recorded here? There are other marks of a healthy church, of what the church can do. But no church can be the church without these recorded here in Acts. No church is going to be healthy without learning, without sharing, without worshiping, and without growing. And so learning, verse 42. This new church were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's how 3,000 had come to faith. Always struck me that 3,000 was quite a precise number. And I wondered if maybe it was perhaps just a number. Well, it sounds good. It's, you know, it's 3,000, that's fine. But I think Dr. Luke had an eye for details. But anyway, Peter had stood up and he had called them to listen to him. And he spoke with authority. His credentials were as a fisherman, but he spoke with authority. And the first word of his sermon, after he had spoken about the prophecy of the one to come, the first word of his sermon is Jesus. We read that earlier in the chapter. It's direct, it's to the point. He immediately points to Jesus. Listen, Jesus. The teaching is to start with Jesus. The historical truth about Jesus, who he was, why he did this. This is where Jesus is now, and this is why it matters. And then the people asked, what shall we do? Peter spoke with authority in his message. All the way through Acts. And that is one of my resolutions, is to read through the Bible this year. Well, you can ask me maybe next year how that went. But if we read through Acts, all his teaching was on Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Christ died, fact, for our sins. And so then, what does that mean for us? And when we declare this, When we explain it and when we unpack it, that is the starting point for our sharing. People ask us, what is Christianity all about? We can follow Peter's example. Don't start with, well, Jesus kind of means this to me. Because others will come back and go, well, this means that to me. Buddha means this to me, and Krishna means this to me. Start with who Jesus is, why he's here, why he came, what he came to do. This is why, and this is what it means. And yes, then we come to what has happened to me. We speak about Jesus first. So one vital sign of the church is that it's a church that speaks about Jesus, learning about what he came to do and why that's important, and then what he means to me. But then secondly, they had fellowship together. They shared things together, like lunch, as you will do afterwards. They shared everything. And there was perhaps, they did this because there was an alienation in the community. You've become a Christian, you've joined this, they would have seen it as a cult. You've joined that strange group of Christians. And so there would have been an alienation from the community. But sharing is also an expression of a new relationship through the common bond in Christ, evidenced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there was an appreciation of what they shared in, that they were sharing in the fellowship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is that not how we end our service? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not because ministers can't think of anything else to say each week. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Just to say, we're not going to sing our doxologies just now. But what makes a healthy church is a shared experience of God's grace. There's a hymn that, how deep the Father's love for us. And it speaks about how God has taken us in all our faults and failings. It says, taken a wretch and made a treasure out of him and her. And he's done that across the ages. And so what brings us together is our commonality through Christ, through the ages, from 2 to 60, 70, 80, 90s, perhaps into our hundreds. It is our common link. The grace of God has brought us together and brought us to faith and to repentance and forgiveness. And so then, we don't need to put on a front, do we? We don't need to say, I'm perfect. Thank you very much. We can be honest. We can be honest about our faults and failings, because we know it is God and his grace who has drawn us to him, not because we have been perfect. Because we know that we're not perfect. We know that I speak for myself. I'll fail. And I know I'll fail in so many ways throughout the week. And perhaps we know that to be true. I was not going to say these things, but I've lost count of the number of times I've done that this week. I said I would keep my temper, but that was until Monday morning when the car cut in front of me, or I tried to get the kids to school, or I tried to get to work on time, or I got these emails at work, or whatever. I said I wouldn't gossip, but that was until I met up with my friends. And so if we're honest, we know that we are not perfect, and that we know that we mess up. But God, God. He makes a wretch his treasure in his grace. And it is that grace that brings us together. And so they shared with one another in fellowship. They shared food together, giving to those that didn't have any. They learned, they had fellowship together, and then they worshipped. They were filled with awe. They were filled with awe that God was present. There was a reverence in them. And they were glad in their hearts. And so when they met, there was joy. I have been in some churches, and I'm not going to name them, that were so gloomy. They were so gloomy in their atmosphere. There was a total lack of joy and gladness. But then, actually, the other end can be true, isn't it? That anything goes. It's a festival party atmosphere all the time, and the awe and reverence goes out the window. And in the church, we hold these two in tension. Awe and reverence, joy and celebration. And we hold all of these together. And it breaks out in our worship because we've learned of what God has done through Jesus, what he has done in bringing us together through his grace, and our joy and our worship comes forth. And so they were alive. And it was evidenced in their prayers, in their house meeting, in the wider gathering, wherever it was, praying with one another, praying for one another. It was part and parcel of their corporate walk as a church. And that is the mechanism God uses to reveal his will, to release his blessing, to accomplish his purposes. And then finally, they were growing. We would all love to know that all of our parishes would just come into the church, wouldn't it? Be fantastic. Well, it'd be a bit of a problem, actually, in some ways. But if hundreds of people came into our churches, that'd be wonderful. And we'd go that fantastic growing. But actually, we grow together in our fellowship. We grow in our learning and our understanding. And yes, we pray for it to grow in numbers as well. But they were growing. They were growing through their teaching, their loving fellowship, their living worship, and their ongoing reaching out. And so, like the jigsaw, there's lots of other things in that bag that were good. And I know someone who's going to enjoy going home and putting them all back in the box or putting them together. All great things. But there was something at the core. And these bits came together to make one picture. In the church, we bring these four elements together. These are the things that a healthy church should be doing. Living and learning. Fellowship, worship, and growing. And so in this new year, we make many resolutions, but may it be our prayer that as individuals and as a church, both gathered here and in other places around this city, that will be true of us in this 2018. Where God's truth reigns, God's love is expressed in generosity, and God's praises are sung with awe and with joy. Amen.